How's it hanging, Death?
You will come with me.
No, we can't. We gotta get back to the babes. Ted, we can't. We're dead, dude. We gotta stop those evil usses. We gotta try. Excuse us, dude. But is there any way back?
You may challenge me to a contest. But if you lose, you will remain here in the afterlife forever.
What if we win?
No one has ever won.
Dude, we gotta ditch this guy. Definitely. But how? Melvin.
Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And I am not watching the playoffs.
You are not watching the playoffs. You're here.
Here.
Are you here? Are you cheering for the Raptors?
What are you talking?
No.
Okay. Do you even know?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you know what city the Raptors play in?
It's Milwaukee.
You are so wrong. It's not even funny.
Milwaukee are the Bucks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Toronto are the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Chicago are the Bulls.
The Bulls.
Mm-hmm. LA is the
Clippers or Knicks.
Nope.
What?
That's my friend.
What?
That's right. The LA Knicks.
Sorry, Clippers are the Lakers.
Yep. Nope.
With the forward.
So I thought that was going to be
the forward, LeBron.
All right.
Williams.
They're all Kobe, right? They're all in my name, Kobe.
What's happening?
Kobe. Yeah.
Do ask who players are. I don't know any other players.
The L.
I don't even know who LeBron plays for right now. Who does LeBron play for? I'm serious, I don't even know who LeBron plays for. He plays for the Heat.
The LA Knicks.
The New York Heat, by the way.
No, they're in Miami.
Huh?
The Knicks?
No, the Heat.
The Heat?
Yes, the Heat are.
They're in Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, if the Knicks are in LA.
Exactly.
The Bucks and are in New York.
And
clearly.
This ends a chapter of Andrew doesn't watch basketball.
Yeah, actually,
Phoenix has the
very little I know about basketball or modern day basketball is because all of my office watches the basketball.
The Phoenix 49ers.
Yeah, those are times that there's no listen anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like what I imagine they do for people who don't enjoy football when I talk about football in an office.
I think it's the...
Andrew, why are you talking?
The LA Orioles.
Right.
The Phoenix 49ers.
And the Alaska Oilers.
Right. The Jamaica Pandas. Right. Thanks for that.
Don't forget the Seattle Tigers.
Mm-hmm. Roar.
Anyways, this week.
Thanks for making me not at all resent for making me come to this podcast. Want to watch basketball? I can sit here listening to Andrew guess that shit at basketball names. That's much better.
Are you ready for Space Jam 2?
Are
you whenever
ready?
That happens, you ready for Space Jam 2?
With who? Michael Jordan doesn't act or do much of anything anymore.
With LeBron James
no.
In Space Jam 2.
Please.
Anyways, this week I got my co-host to sit down and watch the insanity that is the film Why Don't You Play in Hell?
よい。スタート。一度きりの人生だ。地獄でなぜ悪い。この映画はお前一人を感動させたがってんだよ。
Those of you out there which don't know what this movie is about.
Which is, let me just put a percentage on the amount of people that don't know what this movie is. Alright. If you take 1,000% from like 1,000,000%, that's so many people don't know.
So you people, whatever that number is, because yeah. I know good math.
Everybody.
This is about a young group of individuals who are film enthusiasts who want to make movies, who go by the name, the moniker of the Fuck Bombers.
Of course.
Right?
Why not?
And they have a struggling time to make their masterpiece. Until one day, a Yakuza boss picks him up and decides that he has to make a movie for him. And this movie is about that movie. I've just summarized like around 5 minutes worth of this movie. There's another hour and 50 minutes of insanity.
12 and 10 minutes of
insanity. One thing that I will say is that trailer that they made 4 years ago for some sort of like fighting wolf movie or something like that.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But you guys can continue.
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be really hard for me to talk about this movie without going on the immediate defensive, because I imagine Damien's position on this film.
Do you?
And I don't imagine it going very well.
Do you really? I love this movie. It's so good.
I feel even better Damien is going to come out at the end of this and go, Andrew, I didn't watch your movie.
We can just skip to that.
But I kind of love this movie. And this is the kind of movie I love where I know it's bad in parts, but there's so many crazy other bits that I kind of love it. And if I'm being completely honest, the first half an hour of this movie, like the 10 years prior section, is confusing as all hell, right? And has its bits of gags that I enjoy, but just makes little to no sense. But it works for me only in the case if you pay really close attention, which you really don't need to, for the sense of setting up the second half of the movie for me, which is explaining how they end up getting to do this movie, why they would do it the way they do it, and just the insanity of everyone involved. Not to say any of this really matters in this case of this movie, or the reasons you should love this movie, but what I truly and unabashedly adore about this movie is approximately the last hour of this movie, where literally shit hits. Well, I shouldn't say literally, because like people do that. Why do I do that? Where just shit hits the fan, and the movie goes
figuratively.
why did you say that?
I was going to edit that out and make myself sound smarter. No, I have to leave this all in for the sake of it being funny. No one will laugh.
I'm still laughing.
You're still laughing. Inside, right?
You're so bad at English. I marvel at the fact that you...
that I'm an adult.
Like, you know no other languages. That is the part that surprises me. This is the only language...
No. To be fair, it's very much like Bruce Willis. He does also know bad English.
I am a master at that. Mm-hmm. When I'm ready.
And you know computer language, I guess.
That counts as languages, right?
Sorry to tell you, no, really, no.
We are both Shakespeare.
So I can't just speak in code and you guys... No.
I mean, you can.
No.
You'd never
have there are three people a friend who again. Understand me. There are three people in the world who get me.
You'd run out of friends right quick. But you can.
Flash bang.
So yeah, the last hour of this movie, where it just goes balls to the walls insane, including the actual making of this Yakuza film, where the group, the Fuck Bombers, are basically making a documentary of two Yakuza gangs murdering each other. There's so much I love about it. It's kind of this crazy blend of action comedy, where it's not like 21 Jump Street action comedy, where it's obvious they're going straight for the joke, and like the action doesn't really make a difference to them for the most part. It's something where the joke almost feels secondary, but it still kind of exists in this world, and I think it's kind of great. Even small moments like when the Yakuza boss asks him to ask the guy to make a speech, and the Yakuza boss is kind of giving the pseudo director tips on how to make a speech while he's being kind of awkward and unsure of how to do it, to eventually getting into the real director's head of what he wanted to do with this film before he ends up doing the weird version of it that we end up seeing being made. I think this movie is kind of special in, if you're one of those people who love really crazy, really weird Japanese movies. And before I don't know what else to say, I'm going to let Damien go so I can start figuring out what points I need to tell him he's wrong at.
What's happening? Oh, it's my turn. This movie...
Did you learn how to brush your teeth because of this movie?
Sure. this movie is real crazy. It's real, real crazy. And, like, there's so much of this movie that I do not like.
I feel a butt coming.
That is the problem. There is a butt coming.
There's Yakuza action.
There's so much crazy nonsense. And yes! At a certain point, you just go, you know what movie? Fine.
Yes! Yes! I feel like this moment should just be the end of all Trump. Like, I have won in my mind all of the movies that I have gotten flame and vitriol for. I feel like I've succeeded at this point in time.
Right? Just sitting there and going, I know what he thinks is happening. I know what is supposed to be happening.
You mean as in the guy, right, the director?
I know what whoever is directing this movie. I'm talking the actual director.
Oh, the actual.
I know what he thinks he's doing. I also know what he wants me to think he's doing. None of that is happening. However, he spent so much time making this ridiculous that at a certain point...
It breaks you.
Alright, movie fine. When the movie started, there is a scene where a young girl walks into a room. It's in the trailer, so you'll see it. Walks into a room and then slides for about, let's say, 100 meters. And then spends her time having a conversation with some lunatic.
Who is attempting to bleed out to death.
Cut to... a woman running down a man in the street with a knife and catching that man and stabbing him to death. She gets 10 years in prison, which I went, alright movie, you know what movie, I don't care. Just that, like, it took 15 minutes for me to go, I was worried that you were going to be stupid movie, but now that you've accepted what you are, let's see where this rabbit hole goes. And then the movie, the problem I have is that the movie isn't consistent with its own stupid logic, right? There's points where you see the Yakuza and whatever the other clan is that decide to wear kimonos for literally no reason.
But the chick told him kimonos are awesome.
And like, you see them having real gangster type conversations, you go, Jack feels out of place in a movie where there are kids calling themselves the fuck bombers and running around. And I went, alright, fine. If you're going to have just crazy people on the fringes of these two real ass gangsters, then fine. But then they just go, no, they're not real gang. The Kimono clan worships some girl who you find out is the daughter of the other boss who was some... that had one ad when she was like 5 where she sold toothpaste or some shit. And I go, alright movie, if that is what we're doing, then fine. Let us have this ready. And they keep reining it in time and time again. And you go, what is... I don't understand what is happening. But they just continue. They don't give you time. They just go, alright, we're just going to do this. And we're just going and going and going.
Like, I keep thinking, when you brought up the 10 years thing, for like, if you put that in comparison to the rest of the movie, like, that almost seems you're alright with. Like, when once you've gotten past that and moved on to other things.
Like, once they sentence her to 10 years, I went, this, what? What in God's name is happening?
And I mean, the thing about it with this movie is there are jokes that don't work, right? There are honestly, there was in that first half an hour when they're setting up and they're dealing with all of the jail time stuff, and you have the police guy interrogating them and using, Douglas was even making jokes about it while the movie was going, using the fact that their daughter's commercial isn't going to go on TV anymore. Like, it was weird and odd, and you didn't quite get why that was supposed to be funny, or like, it just didn't really work as a joke.
I was wondering, you know, this movie isn't in English, so maybe there's things being, because I mean, reading the words is not the same as understanding, you know, how it is said and whatever, and so maybe there's something to be gained, me learning Japanese.
There's something lost in translation.
It's actually what Bill Murray whispered to Scarlett Johansson at the end of that movie.
That's the answer. I've just seen the worst movie of all time. It's called The Fuck Bombers.
I really hate that people keep going on to that scene. Like, what did they say? I'm like, goddamn.
Yeah,
people.
She said, he said, this movie's boring as shit. I'm never doing this again.
Is there anything else you had to kind of add?
The movie's just weird. It is all kinds of weird. And
but is it crazy enough for you?
No, that is the problem.
Because I know you love crazy.
Right, if they were just consistent, if they just went, this is the dumb movie we're making, and taking it into FP territory, I'd have been fine. But they kept, like, they're like, no, this is still in some kind of real world where people do real things and beat up other people and do gangster type shit. And where this crazy film crew are justifiably the worst and have to shut down their entire operation because no one is coming to their shitty movies. And their lead actor just realized that he's 30 and has never done anything. So if you're going to have those things in there...
Did you see the Japanese Bruce Lee?
Yes.
Did you not see that?
I did see that. And I wanted to see more of it. I wanted it to be a fever dream. But he kept trying to ground this nonsense
into real
world.
I can't wait
until
we make
Damon
watch R100.
I don't even know if I want to watch R100 again.
High and drunk.
But, you know, so this movie is just a bunch of nonsense. That's really what this thing is. This is most definitely a Midnight Madness.
That's where I saw it.
And that's where you saw it. And
if you're high, this might be the best movie.
Told this to Douglas, sorry, but let me tell you. I saw this at Midnight Madness at TIFF this year gone by. And the thing about my Midnight Madness stuff this last year was that because I pushed myself to watch so many movies, a lot of the Midnight movies I didn't quite was able to stay awake for. And this one especially. So, rewatching this movie, I know that I was awake for the first 5 minutes, and the gunshots woke me up at the end, and there was some intermittent stuff. So, I wanted to rewatch it, and I'm like, I remember, for example, during the end big scene, there was this moment where the sound guy shoots someone, and because I had lost a lot of the movie, I thought that was supposed to be the real director of the real movie that we were watching.
Oh yeah.
Breaking the fourth wall of something.
What's this director doing?
So yeah.
This movie, I could definitely see myself sitting down at Midnight Madness and saying this is like a 10 out of 5 stars. I still enjoyed this movie because it was just a lot of crazy foolishness. Like Damien says, you know, in the beginning you have the girl just sliding through the blood. You have that crazy ad. You know, let's fly and let's get up
and she keeps singing the song.
Yeah, she does.
Something.
And you know, you've got the special kiss that she gives to her ex-boyfriend.
I've done that.
You're like, I'm done with you.
And just to watch the Fuck Mama's lead, the director's facial expressions whenever he speaks. It doesn't matter whether he is speaking to some random girl who he would like to date, or to the cast and crew who are, you know, comprise
straight
Bruce
killers.
Lee's and straight, exactly, straight killers.
Just always so happy.
Yeah. And you know, the way that he interacts with people, the way that when he's on this supposed date with this girl, he just keeps talking, and he's not really talking to have a conversation. He's not really talking about himself or asking her questions or talking about like this world in general. He's almost abiding it out, right? It almost sounds like he's talking about other movies and how those characters would react in those movies. And Andrew, these movies are so crazy that, as Damian says, at some point you just have to, you realize that, you know what it is, you're going in this, you're not thinking about it, you're relaxing, you're just there to enjoy, and you're just there to have fun. And I appreciated that. And I did really enjoy this movie.
I loved thinking to myself, like in that opening scene with the girl sliding, that it doesn't really give you a clear count, but you can kind of see that there are like four or five guys,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's obvious that the blood that she was kind of in that room doesn't quite equate to the number of people there.
Yep.
At the same time, thinking about the end of this movie where you have like 50 versus 50 guys and just everyone is dying all over the place, thinking to myself, why isn't there that much blood as there was earlier? It looks like it doesn't quite work like that. While there was some sliding involved in the end sequence, didn't quite match up. But I love the way that even towards the end of the movie, when they were it felt almost like it was mocking this child for having this weird vision, not coming to terms with reality, because we end up going into his mind for just kind of seeing a vision of what he expects the premiere of that movie to be,
mm-hmm.
and like it kind of throws you until we're back and we just kind of reminded, nope, that's a dream, and mm-hmm. the reality is very dim, mm-hmm. very dark, very sad. And
what reality? What are you talking about? There's no reality in this movie as far as I'm concerned. But I really do. I love the end of that movie. I love the very end of this movie. It's where it's almost like the guys behind this movie are like, essentially, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. It's like, you know, when you're telling a joke, and, you know, if you're telling a joke, the best way to tell it is to tell it with a straight face, and tell it like I'm speaking now, mm-hmm. and just not breaking up. And, you know, you have some comedians. I think Jimmy Fallon is probably one of the notable ones, especially when he was on SNL, who could just never do that,
mm-hmm.
right? He'd try, and he'd always break. You know, he'd always crack himself mm-hmm. up or something. He'd be like, oh, this is just ridiculous. And that's how the end of this movie felt to me. It was like the 2 hour or the 3 hour long joke, they just couldn't hold it in anymore. Yeah. And they're like, fuck it, all right. All right.
And I like that they left in that bit where you heard the guy shout. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. And the actor is like, oh, I can't stop. And they left in that moment for us to have this little moment of reality. Where we're like, oh, the joke is over. Yeah. We can go home now.
Just walk off and there's just some man standing there. What's happening?
And they're like, oh, we're done?
I'm going to leave this street. Only nonsense happens here. The movie's crazy. Like it is.
Like, I honestly believe crazy. This. Like, I've been using this term, cinematic lunacy, for things like Crank, for things like the FP. I think this movie is redefining that term for me. As to what cinematic lunacy is.
Mm-hmm. Mi'kmaq defined that for me. What am I watching?
In fact,
Douglas, other French movie that he forced us to watch
so
recently.
Oh, great. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. Oh, that other one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, because for some reason, whenever you talk about Mi'kmaqs, you immediately jump to Paper Bag Jellyfish. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I thought that's where you were going.
That's talking
okay.
about, though.
No.
Recently sat down. And review the movie.
A French movie.
Yes, we did.
But we're not talking about French. But we're not talking about French movies today.
Aren't we?
We're talking about Japanese movies.
And they might as well have been in French. Huh?
Might as well.
This is my version of Moon Indigo. With lots of samurais. Lots of yakuzas.
Like, when I only think about the dumb things. And dumb in quotation. When I think about the dumb things, there's a smile on my face. When I think about the stupid things, this movie's terrible.
I like that you differentiate
yes.
dumb and
stupid. Yeah. There's dumb things happening on the screen, and it makes me smile. I mean, that's real stupid.
And then there's really bad things that happens on the screen. Right? Like, I could nitpick, but it wouldn't be... Like, nitpick is when you find small problems. There's big-ass problems in this movie. But it's crazy. It's super crazy. And since we've now marched on the Capitol for weed to be legal in Jamaica, I say we smoke up and watch this movie again. Of course. I hate this country.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So I'm curious, does this make this movie Tom certified?
Sure. Why not? Feel better.
I feel a lot better. I feel vindicated. For every Japanese movie I've ever brought on this podcast, I've been told that I'm an idiot. This is the one. Last week, kind of preparing for summer, and we are still fighting it off in the fantasy league, in our Tomp movie fantasy league. I wanted to ask about summer movies, and two questions in specific being, number one, what film do you believe is going to win the box office this summer? And two, what's the movie you're most looking forward to this summer? You're most excited or you're hoping you love the most? Whatever version of that question you want to
answer. Tyler Perry Kills Madea. It's a new movie.
And the few responses I got was from one Jack Giroux, friend of the show, who said that the box office winner is going to be Transformers 4. And the movies he's most excited for seeing is Edge of Tomorrow and Jupiter Ascending.
Well, you're right with one of those things.
Filner Jamie mentioned How to Train Your Dragon 2 as the winner. And the movies they're most looking forward to is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Jupiter Ascending.
Dawn of the Rise of
People
the Fall.
People like Jupiter, huh?
People like the Wachowski siblings.
True that.
They made The Matrix.
Jake at Jake underscore Petre, P-I-T-R-E, that's Petre, right?
True.
Said Transformers is going to win the box office as alongside How to Train Your Dragon 2, like it's between those two movies. And the movie he's most looking forward to is Richard Linklater's Boyhood.
Yes!
But
is that a summer movie?
It technically is, but it's not really in the blockbuster frame that we're kind of talking about. No, that's the one he's most excited for.
It's still going to make a lot of money.
And my favorite response, only because it serves my purposes the most, comes from the one Mr. Ryan McNeil.
And you're self-serving.
Who claims that the movie he's most excited for is Linklater's Boyhood, but the movie he thinks will win the box office is Gojira.
Gojira!
More and more I'm getting into this date, I feel like it might happen. I feel like the movie might be like one of the top three.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, as I said to you last week, as I keep saying to you, whenever I watch anything to do with that movie, the more content I see come out, is the more I just want to adore that
this
movie.
Is going to be a mistake. A beautiful, beautiful mistake.
So earlier this month, the latest film from a favorite of the show, Lars von Trier, came out on VOD. And there are a lot of parts I could talk about this movie, especially the use of sexuality and such. But I'm kind of more curious about something that I kind of noticed like within the first couple of minutes, which is that Lars von Trier opens us with kind of a great song for Nymphomaniac as an opening for the movie. And I'm kind of curious as to what people's favorite movie songs are.
What song was that, by the way?
It was called Nymphomaniac.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a... Oh,
it's
yeah.
a song that right. I assume
yeah,
was made for
made
the
for movie.
Yeah. So, your favorite movie songs that were made for the movie in question.
Oh, okay. It's sad. You know,
you're not allowed to say Purple Rain.
You know, no, it's not, but that's a really good one.
Purple Rain.
The first thing that actually came to my head was Hansard and Marketa Erglova with Dia once.
That pumped the Tron Legacy entire soundtrack.
we want to get into specifics, there's the end title song.
Have you... I'm curious because I remember at one point... Because you said at a point it was the first time you had heard Daft Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite know whether it took you into other Daft Punk. Is it that you just like that album or...
Pretty much.
Okay.
Like...
Even the new one?
I haven't heard the new one.
Okay.
Yet, because I've been doing this music rehabilitation nonsense.
I keep hearing how great.
I love it. But...
I went back and listened to a lot of their old music. But most of their songs aren't really songs. Right? Like, they have the big one.
Some would debate the Tron score is
right,
really songs.
Right. And exactly. And so the ones that have people singing on them are usually the ones that a lot of people know. Like the technology.
The right. Dance tracks.
Right. And then they have other tracks that are basically techno garbage. And then they have remix techno garbage. And then they have things that are more akin to the Tron legacy soundtrack,
yeah.
Which is what I wanted more of, but that is not what they do. That isn't like
yeah.
They do techno nonsense 99% of the time, which is not, I mean,
okay.
Having that blasted in my ears when I'm sitting alone by myself is no consider a good time
as opposed to the Tron soundtrack,
right? Which isn't that most of the time, it's not. Alright, it's Tom Fantasy Quiz time again. Andrew is molesting his phone, I guess, with a charger that's very ragged.
sure,
I don't want to hear it. Alright, so it's time again, we're going back into the 1990s, because I find this hilarious. Next week we'll be going into... a more modern time period. We'll be doing 20. We'll be doing 2010 to, I guess, right now. So it'll be 5 years. So each question will, there'll be questions for 2 years.
So you we're can including jump. This year.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Including this year. But as I said, we're.
What did the fox say?
1990s. Douglas is still behind.
Of course he is.
Douglas
sucks at
this game. It's getting worse. So Douglas, would you like to start or would you pass that the honors off to Andrew Robinson?
I would always start. Always.
Alright.
End.
Alright. Question one. Jerry Maguire, The Rock, Twister.
Okay, so your question needs to have a question in it. You just gave me three titles.
We You're already
supposed
know
to know
how
the
rules. It's
supposed to guess the year.
We know how
the
game
it's the same
played.
Thing because
the
remember
game.
The first test was different than the second test.
For the past,
we have solidified the game.
For the past 2 weeks, it's been the same game. Stop stalling. Right? Jerry Maguire, The Rock, Twister. List in order which made most to least money.
Okay.
Would you, and I can provide a hint.
Wait,
to help you with the
Rock
date.
And Twister.
Yes,
I actually think
year.
I do know that year, but
okay.
give me a hint.
The hints will be the best-selling games of the year.
Fuck,
we're screwed.
Nintendo's Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green.
All right. So the Rock, Jerry Maguire, and thing. I was not in sixth form.
And Twister.
Let's think
again,
about
you need
this.
To hurry this along.
Let's think about this. When was... I wasn't in fifth form either. Fourth would have been... Fifth form, I ended in 99, so that's 98. I'm going to guess...
Do I need to run out of time
97.
You are incorrect, sir.
Shit.
Andrew Robinson, what year was it?
The names were Jerry Maguire, Twister, and The Rock.
Yep.
And you said the best game was Pokemon Red.
Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green for the Game Boy.
I'm going to take a guess because I'm not entirely sure, but 94?
You are also incorrect. It was 1996. Douglas Robinson,
that's
not
close.
Even close. I was close to winning the lotto every single time I played. Still hasn't happened yet.
List in order. Yes, Jerry Maguire, The Rock, or Twister?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will go with The Rock, followed by Jerry Maguire, followed mm-hmm. by Twister.
You are incorrect, sir. Andrew Robinson.
Twister.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Maguire, then The Rock.
Twister, Jerry Maguire, then The Rock. Andrew Robinson is correct.
Wow. Twister was big.
Twister was big. Really, really scary.
I even remember going to Disney and being on a Twister thing.
Yep.
Wow.
Twister games, all sorts of nonsense. Andrew Robinson, it is your turn.
That'd be hilarious if that was a part of
Silence of the Lambs. Robin Hood's Prince, okay? Off the bat. Alright.
What was the game, by the way?
Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
So
the NES. Silence of the Lambs, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and City Slickers. How goes it?
Silence of the Lambs, Robin Hood, King of Thieves, and City Slickers. Prince of Thieves. I'm going to guess... This is horrible. City Slickers... You said Robin Hood, and what was the other one?
Silence of the Lambs.
I'm going to go City Slickers, Silence of the Lambs, Robin Hood.
You are incorrect, sir. Mm. Douglas Robinson. To steal a point from Andrew.
You said, what is it again?
Silence of the Lambs,
yeah.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and City Slickers.
Okay, I'm just going to switch the bottom two. So Silence of the Lambs, City Slickers, Robin Hood.
Also incorrect.
Also incorrect.
Robin Hood made $165 million.
Sorry, that wasn't that big. Hmm.
Silence of the Lambs made $130 million.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the internet always making fun of Kevin Costner for that.
And City Slickers made $124 million.
I should have gone by the simple logic that I remember watching. I remember actually going to the theater for Robin Hood. So it must have been.
That.
Yeah, man, we did. It was. You were too
I
young.
I don't even remember seeing that movie at all,
like,
ever.
We went to the drive-in in New Kingston.
Well, that's where we always went.
All terrific information. Anaconda, The Fifth Element, LA Confidential.
I should know what that is.
You should.
Can you please...
Stop Googling.
Give me... can you please give me a...
Okay. Final Fantasy VII was the best selling game.
These goddamn games just don't help me. Right? Remind me of the movies.
Anaconda. What launched Jennifer Lopez into the stratosphere.
An Ice Cube.
The Fifth Element with Lilo Dallas's Multipass. And LA Confidential.
Oh, you know what? I know when this is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as in sixth form in 98.
Mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. means this is 97.
Correct. Now, can you put them in order?
One more time for me.
Anaconda, The Fifth Element, and La Confidential.
Alright, Fifth Element, Anaconda, LA Confidential.
You are incorrect, sir.
No!
Andrew Robinson.
Anaconda, The Fifth Element, LA Confidential.
You are incorrect, sir.
God damn it.
Anaconda was indeed.
Wow.
65
really?
Million.
Oh,
LA Confidential made 64 million. And The Fifth Element made 63 million.
There's just a question as to which one did worse, LA Confidential or Fifth Element. I couldn't remember.
Which one did worse? Both of you, because none of you got any points. Question number four. 2004 for life.
Is it 2004?
Blue Streak. Sadly, it is not.
Blue Streak. Holy shit.
South Park, Bigger, Blacker, and Uncut. And Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo.
Give me the clue, even though it's not going to help.
Square Enix put out Final Fantasy 8.
Okay, Blue that Streak? Does help
mm-hmm.
in some sense. Because
mm-hmm.
it ruled out what I thought was the answer. Because he said 97 a while ago. And that was FF7.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and say 99.
Congratulations.
Because it probably take more than a year to do a game.
Especially a Final Fantasy game. Alright, now put them in order. Blue
so
Streak,
Blue... Yeah?
South Park, and Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo.
That got a sequel. South Park was very big at the time, at the biggest peak of it. So I'm going to go South Park, Deuce Bigalow, and what was the other one?
And Blue Streak.
Blue Streak.
I remember that being a big one.
Jay-Z had a song.
Yeah, just put Blue Streak at the bottom.
Nope. Incorrect. Douglas Robinson.
Please list them again.
Blue Streak, South Park, Deuce Bigalow.
Okay, I'm going to go with South Park number one.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by
Blue Streak or
Martin Lawrence beat Rob Schneider.
Remember, in Rob Schneider has got a old time.
Oh, I know.
In a battle as old as
oh
time.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to...
When did people think Rob Schneider was a good thing?
When did people think Happy Martin Gilmore. Lawrence was a good thing? I mean, it's just one of those things.
Bad Boys.
The 90s... I know, I love Bad Boys. But the 90s were just crazy.
And Martin Lawrence did the stand-up for a long time.
Yeah, he
and
did.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he did. I am going to go with Blue Streak.
I mean, we could just skip this. You're wrong as shit. Martin Lawrence Blue made Street more won. Money than everybody.
Wow,
Blue Streak made $68 million. Deuce Bigalow made $65 million. And South Park made $52 million.
Really?
Wow.
South Park?
Yep.
I assume South Park at the peak of its
everyone
yes. South Parkness would have won that game.
It is now question five, which goes to
Douglas.
Him. I love this. I'm so glad this is question five. D2, the Mighty Ducks. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Okay.
And the greatest movie of the 90s, Speed. Part 1.
Okay. This is early 90s. Give me a clue.
That won't help you.
Nintendo put out Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, fuck yourself. Alright, so Speed.
For the Super Nintendo.
So what are the three movies?
D2, the Mighty Ducks. Because D1... Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and Speed.
Alright, I went into high school in 1994, which means it's before that. So it's either 2 or 3. I'm going to guess 92.
Nope.
I had the same logic, so that means I'm saying 93.
Again, incorrect.
Wow.
1994.
Wow. Oh, so it's right as. Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. Wow.
Douglas Robinson.
Okay.
2004 for life.
2004?
McKayla's is with me.
Oh, that would make so much sense why he got so
if you have McKayla's name, it's somewhere in that.
Oh my goodness. Do you remember that movie, Andrew?
Yes, I watched it on TV so much.
Anyway,
can you put them in order? Mighty Ducks sequel, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, the first one, and Speed, the first one.
Oof. The Ducks 2 was a sequel.
Yep.
But Ace Ventura was
Special V.
The aciest of Venturas.
Yep.
I remember there was a D3.
I know, right?
For
I'm
the
going
ducks.
To, I'm going to just be a moron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to strike out and I'm going to say that Speed was number one, Ace Ventura number two, Mighty Ducks number three.
Douglas is correct.
Shit.
Finally. Took 4 years. He finally got it done. Douglas with 1 point because,
one
of
point.
Course, didn't get the year right because you're a moron. Question number six. Andrew Robinson, are you ready? Enemy of the
Does
State.
Does it matter?
Don't care. You've Got Mail. Deep Impact.
Give me the game.
The Legend, the best game of all time came out. The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
That makes it a lot later. So I'm going to go and stab 98.
Congratulations.
You know
when the best game of all time came.
So we had You've Got Mail, we had
Enemy of the State, and Deep Impact.
Deep Impact is last, Enemy of the State second, then
You've Got
Mail number
first.
One.
You are incorrect, sir.
Shit, Tom Hanks
Douglas
in winning
Robinson. Enemy of the State, You've Got Mail, and Deep Impact.
Alright. Enemy of the State does have
The
Big
Willis
Willie.
Of Smith.
Big mm-hmm. Will is number one, Tom Hanks number two, and whoever cares for number three.
I got the both of you.
Ah.
I knew by putting Deep Impact in this, you both would put it last. And
Wasn't,
it did.
Didn't Armageddon beat it?
Yes, it did. That didn't stop Deep Impact from making $140 million.
Wow. You cheating motherfucker.
I don't
right, that
you've
was
got
a big movie
yep.
at the time.
You've Got Mail made $115 million. And
yes.
Enemy of the State made 111.
Yes. I'm happy that I did know that You've Got Mail beat Enemy of the State.
Dead
right?
ass
I'm
last.
Happy
well,
it.
I actually figured it was first, but the only reason I changed it was because you got it
yeah.
wrong. I was
yeah.
like, you know what, I'll
yeah,
switch
like,
things up.
Yeah, Deep Impact definitely lost. Nope. You all got guts.
Deep Impact versus Will Smith and Tom Hanks
mm-hmm.
in 98?
Yup.
Anyways.
Especially Tom Hanks with Meg Ryan after two successful Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan movies
Douglas
already.
Douglas Robinson, just so you know, question 9 will be the best question of your life.
Is and it if 2004? You get it wrong,
if you get it wrong, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Is it 2004? Go
at work. Question number 7. Three ninjas.
Yes! Yes!
Can I tell you, we this used to own that movie.
Sadly, everybody.
So good.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross, or Stop, or My Mom Will Shoot. Quality. Oh, wow. Three quality.
Which movie made the least money?
This sucks because I was about to just blurt out a number and then I realized the two earliest years are less, so I can't blurt it out. What's the clue?
Nintendo put out Super Mario Land 2 for the NES. The NES.
Alright, let's think about this.
He's not thinking of
It's 92.
Okay.
Wow.
Now put them in order. Three ninjas. Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yep.
Where does that go?
Yep.
Alright.
Yep.
What's
that?
Right.
What's that? They're making shitty movies now?
No, all right. We're gonna do number 1 Sylvester Stallone, number 2 Disney, and number 3 Mr. Playwright.
Who is Sylvester David Stallone? Light.
Stop or My Mom.
Stop it.
Let's go.
You're incorrect.
No, I'm incorrect.
Andrew Robinson.
Oh shit. Like, I don't want to bet on David Bowie. That's how, like, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bet on it being the number one. Mm-hmm. Stallone is number one. It's between David Bowie and Three Ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
And
but isn't that Stallone is number one? Is it that the number 2 and 3 picks are up? Dun, dun, dun.
You know, that might be right.
Mm-hmm.
I might be willing to bet that. Stallone.
You know, if he gets that right, I'm going to.
Yep.
Stallone, Mammoth, Three Ninjas.
You are wrong.
Yes! Yes!
Three Ninjas made 29 million. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot made 28.4 million.
Holy shit.
And Glengarry Glen Ross made 10 million.
Like, I knew that movie should have been the last.
I knew I should have put Three Ninjas first just because I love Three Ninjas so much.
I got you again. Andrew Robinson.
You're having too much fun.
Yes, I am. Casper the Friendly Ghost. The worst movie of all time. Except AI. Pocahontas and Jumanji.
Ooh, those are hard. Oh. I know what year it is, though.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't get it, I can.
I think I know what year it is, but give me the game.
Nintendo put out Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Not even close. Just looking into space.
That was for the Super Nintendo, right?
Sure it was.
You're not even going to tell me.
Of course, yes, it was for the Super Nintendo.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many questions have we had so far?
This is question 8.
Okay. So I don't know what year it is.
No, you don't. And you won't know what year it is the next question too, because that will be question 9 and there are 10 questions.
It's 2004. Not 2004
for life.
93.
No. Douglas, what year is it?
What did he just say?
93, because he watched Casper in 1993.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so okay, so which are the movies? Just remind me.
Casper, you're just thinking of the year. Casper, Pocahontas, and Jumanji.
Pocahontas and Jumanji. Mm-hmm. That was early in my mind.
Pocahontas came out 95. After Lion King. 95 is correct. You still get no points. Andrew Robinson, put them in order.
Casper, Pocahontas, and
Jumanji.
Jumanji got a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But Pocahontas was huge. And Casper, I'm going to go Pocahontas, Jumanji, Casper.
Andrew Robinson is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew now has 2 points.
I loved Pocahontas at the time.
You're a bad
I rewatched that movie 2 years ago on Netflix and realized it's really bad.
Douglas Robinson.
That was always like the girly Disney movie.
Douglas
or
Robinson.
I like it.
I like musicals. My name is Andrew.
Douglas
all
Robinson.
Of those movies are musicals, Andrew.
I loved all of them.
I like Excel. And Excel has done its job this time. Question number 9. Cool Runnings. The Sister Act 2. And the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh.
If Douglas gets this wrong.
Question. Out of curiosity.
Punch him in the face.
Are all of those movies Disney movies?
Yeah. It's really
One more time. What are those movies?
I shouldn't have to tell you all of them. Cool Runnings is the first movie.
Yeah.
The Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
And The Beverly Hillbillies.
That would be 93.
Congratulations. Now put them in order.
One more time.
Sister Act 2, The Beverly Hillbillies, and your favorite movie of all time.
Ernest.
Goes to camp? Not on this.
No, this is Ernest being a hillbilly.
Alright, did Disney win or did Disney win?
And I remember it had that guy from the Drew Carey show. I like the Drew Carey show.
One for the money, two
yeah,
for
did,
the show,
yeah, did.
Three to get ready, and
all
the
right.
worst thing that has ever happened to humans.
Alright, it was the Hillbillies, Cool Runnings, what was the third one again?
Sister Act 2.
Okay, so Sister Act 2,
mm-hmm.
followed by Cool Runnings, followed by Beverly Hills.
Incorrecto. Andrew Robinson.
I'm going to drop Sister Act 2 to the bottom. I'll say Cool Runnings, Hillbillies, Sister Act.
Incorrect. Cool Runnings won.
Really?
68 million.
Yeah, that movie was...
Well, no, but because he was giving it such a...
Hold on. That movie was what? I wanted
emphasis.
To finish that statement.
That was a big thing.
I'm going to punch you in the face. 68 million. No, it was not a big thing. Sister Act 2 came in second.
Shit.
How dare you?
Dude, I know Hillbillies made no money. I
and
know
Hillbillies
that.
Made four.
Right?
There was no
money.
Sister Act.
Everybody knew.
Goddamn right. Andrew Robinson, the final question. Goodfellas,
uh-huh.
Robocop Part 2, and Arachnophobia.
I'm trying to remember the year. But give me the game.
Nintendo put out Super Mario World, the first one.
So that would be 1989? No, 1990.
Yes, 1990.
You said Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
You said...
Robocop
2.
And Arachnophobia. Just quality across the board.
I'm going to go ahead and do what I shouldn't do, which is I'm going to hope for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say in the order you gave me.
Goodfellas first, Robocop second.
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect. Douglas Robinson, how goes it?
I want to go the opposite. I want to go Arachnophobia,
mm-hmm.
followed
by Robocop,
followed by
Goodfellas. Also incorrect.
Oh, wow.
Arachnophobia did win,
yeah.
53 million.
Goodfellas what?
Came
really?
Second with
and
46
Goodfellas
million.
Had 12
and Robocop made 45 million. So we end today, once again, Douglas falling behind. Out of a possible 15 points for both of you, Andrew got 2. And Douglas got 1 point.
I got the connection to the equipment and the mail order distribution. Not to mention those kids out there who are hot fuck action to the max, Jack. This is the future. Videotape tells the truth. Wait a minute. You come into my house, my party, to tell me about the future. That the future is tape, videotape, and not film? And it's amateurs and not professionals. I'm a filmmaker. That's why I will never make a movie on videotape. And I'll tell you something else. I will never, ever loan out any of the
wait,
actors
wait,
that
wait,
I have
wait,
to you.
I'm not a complicated man. I like cinema. In particular, I like to see people fucking on film. But I don't want to win an Oscar and I don't want to reinvent a wheel. I like simple pleasures like butter in my ass, lollipops in my mouth. That's just me. That's just something that I enjoy. Call me crazy, call me a pervert. But here's one little thing that I want to do in this life, and that is I want to make a dollar and a cent in this business. Jack, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you stay one step ahead of the game.
We're going in circles now. We're in familiar territory.
The territory we're in is the future, not to mention the cost.
You know, if it looks like shit, and it sounds like shit, then it must be shit.
Anyways, moving on. And this week in Top 5, I wanted us to talk about tying in with Why Don't You Play in Hell. Movies about making movies or about filmmakers. Movies about filmmaking or about filmmakers. Damien sent me a question in the middle of the week,
mm-hmm.
and I responded to him.
Yes.
And hopefully he's thought of good things to say since then.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll you didn't think of good things.
I'm a terrible person.
I'm going to start out number 5, and it's going to be a movie I've already mentioned on the not today a movie I've mentioned recently, and it was kind of in conversation we had a couple weeks ago with Mood Indigo. I'm going to talk about Be Kind Rewind. Because...
I thought we were talking about good movies.
Because the thing about this is that I almost always want to elevate this movie as better than it really is, because it has such a kind heart to it. It has such a loving feeling to it, especially as it's talking about love for movies, which is something I kind of keep close to my heart as something...
What heart? You know. What are you talking about? When did that happen?
It happened a long time ago. But yeah, Be Kind Rewind is a really enjoyable movie, and probably the last time Michel Gondry's style was good to see.
Holy shit. Wow.
Really
scraping there. Alright, I'm just going to start with the nonsense first and work my way down to serious movies. First one, Tropic Thunder. Hey guys,
oh, that's
incredible.
Perfect. That's perfect.
And everyone should have seen it by now.
Wow.
So Peck, was that? I think that was the first movie in the revolution of Matthew McConaughey. Now that was the beginning with him as the Peck, Peckster, oh, whatever it was.
Oh yes.
Okay. Remember when people were saying they were going to do a new Tom Cruise movie with him just being that? Thinking that was going to be a real thing.
Yeah. That could
should have been.
That could never happen.
It should have been.
It would be so bad.
So bad. That guy works.
And that is why I want to see it.
So
I like watching Trey.
Maybe just maybe why don't you play in Hell Direct?
I watched Taken of Pelham 1, 2, 3. Oh, I saw that.
They totally changed how Google Keep works. All my checked items go down at the bottom now.
Yeah.
Anyway, my there's first
the ad
checked
for
item,
Google.
Yes, my first checked item, or my fifth item on the list, mm-hmm. is one Lost in Translation, directed by Sofia Coppola. And why is Andrew looking at me like,
what movie were they making?
So
they're shooting a commercial.
So there's the commercial. Is that what you're harping on?
Is that the movie that they were making? The commercial that they
no, no. Let him make his case.
Okay, hold on. Let me read from the title of my list, which is taken from Andrew's email.
Mm-hmm.
Email, which is top 5 movies about movie makers or movie making. So Bill Murray in that movie mm-hmm. was a very famous movie maker, and that movie was about him. It was about him connecting with somebody else, but you didn't say it was about, it had to be about a movie maker making movies. And if you want me to have to play this card, then yes, he was making an advert. Advert in Japan, but you didn't say that this movie maker had to actually be in the process of making a movie. Why would that be a requirement?
I need to stop talking to Douglas now.
And why is Andrew looking at me like, first of all,
I'm not looking at you. First thing is clear. Because
yeah,
if I were to look at you right now,
stab you in the face. Stab you in the face with something. Coming up with
I would
a
know
shitty
your
list.
Ass. I would just know your ass. But. Okay.
Alright, dog. Sure. We'll give you that, I guess. Simple bastard.
My number 4.
Wow.
I don't even know if I can deal with that.
Wow. But I don't get it. I don't see why this is a bad. Why this is wrong.
My number 4 goes to the Woody Allen classic.
Sorry, what?
Purple Rose of Cairo.
Purple Rain?
I thought that's
which,
what she was going to say too.
Which, if you've never seen the film, is about during the Great Depression when this young lady.
So
yes, right now.
Right now.
When the young lady keeps going to this movie because she's in love with movies so much, literally the character comes out of the screen and becomes her boyfriend throughout the movie, which then puts the movie studios into a spur having to try and fix this problem, i.e. putting him back in the movie, because we can't have a rogue movie existing in the world. And I just think it's such a playful thing to play with movie making and with the idea of the fallacy of movies, of stories within movies, and the reality of those people and what they put into making those movies. And I love it.
Okay. My next movie is Cloverfield. Andrew asked me to defend it.
I didn't ask you to defend it. I said you'll make a case.
Do you see where the guy had a camera the entire time shooting the monster in Cloverfield?
he was making.
I told him because he told me about this question, and I said to him, I agree wholeheartedly.
I found a post online of what I want Cloverfield 2 to be. It is the Cloverfield monster versus Godzilla.
Okay.
So that is either Godzilla 2 or Cloverfield. I don't care which one comes first. I don't care.
So, alright. Hey, amen. Like, I'm not going to tell you your pick is wrong.
Right.
Because I don't really want to talk about it right
Fair
now.
Fair enough.
I want to stake bets on whether I want to hit Douglas after he says he's number 4.
But listen, the funny thing is, right? I think most of my list is actually passable. But I had a couple audibles in here that, if we're going by this rule, definitely aren't. And I'm wondering if it's worth it for me to just use my audibles. Because that would make for an interesting
Fine,
show.
Let's
because
be interesting.
Then it would be more like...
Because my next 3 picks are straight down the line.
It'd just be punching.
No,
man. It'd just be Andrew punching me in the face for the rest of the time. But no, I won't do that. So my next pick, which Damon is probably going to hate me for, is number 4 being Hugo. Directed by one Martin Scorsese. And... it is just awesome, and I will say no more than that. We've spoken
I knew
about this so
we
many
wouldn't
times.
Get to the end without saying that movie, so...
I actually didn't even bother putting that to my list, because I'm sure... I expected Damien to take it.
Yeah.
But Douglas did, because he's a jerk.
So my number 3 is what I would like to call a vetoed Tump favorite, wherein I refuse to listen to my co-hosts, and I just decide that it's a Tom favorite. And it is the... it is the classic film, Singing in the Rain.
Oh.
Oh, wait, what's... Oh. I remember you talking about that movie, going on about...
Yeah, I like that movie.
Going
what
on
about,
it does some things at the end, and I was weirded out by it.
I like that movie.
I thought
movie
he was going to
lot.
Talk about Close Up.
I don't even know what he was going to talk about, but I figured it would be something that both of us didn't like.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Singing in the Rain, because as it says in the title,
Singing.
Is
it, it's rainy though, like.
Yeah. Me and Miss Elliot. Can't stand it.
But yeah, I adore this movie, and I find more and more that as people are discovering it, like, people generally go into that movie not knowing that it's about someone who is in the process of filmmaking, who's making this movie that ends up turning into Singing in the Rain. And I just adore the music. I adore all the jokes. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. Damien, stop showing me Cloverfield pictures.
Cloverfield 2. V Godzilla. And then we just put Pacific Rim in there for the trilogy. And we have Avengers fight them.
Is there
and
a Gundam that shows up?
We're not children. Alright, so now to pick real last movies. Boogie Nights. Hey guys, Boogie Nights.
I'm saying another movie I purposely left off because...
Like, yeah, do we need to talk about... Like, we've seen and spoken about Boogie Nights, you know? It's incredible. Please watch it if you haven't. And if you have, watch it again.
I already thought that I maybe had taken... a little bit of a liberty with this pick. Based on the response to my first pick, clearly I took like a million liberties with this one. But I'm going to go with it anyway. I'm going to keep this as my number 3. It is the George Clooney directed Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Which is about, do you know what this movie is about? The TV show.
Yeah, he made TV shows. He was a maker of TV film.
Whilst really being a spy.
Well, yes.
Alright, fine.
Again, Andrew, nope. I interpreted this list,
you know,
not necessarily
like a drunk person.
About a movie.
Like a screenshot in a movie where someone has a camera, even if it is like a pinhole camera, counting.
Right. I'm changing my list now. So we're doing dumb shit.
But just because a movie isn't being made doesn't make these people not movie makers.
No.
Alright?
No, I'm fine. You see, alright, let me explain it to you. Right, let me explain to you my issue. Because
you're
getting really technical with it. And I generally interpreted the list in a very spiritual sense. Where, take for example that one. If we want to be technical, yes, he was using cameras and he was making shows. But that movie was never about the TV show. It was about the spy.
Yeah, but...
And that's why I differentiate them.
And I now understand where you are going, but that's not what the list said. And so, like, I'm just like, oh, movie maker.
Well, I thought the movie we watched would give a guideline enough that you're like...
No, but... well, then I'd be looking at crazy movies. But, So when I look at that, I'm just like, what movies do I really like with movie makers and movie making in it? And for me, right... I know that you have this special sort of relationship, and it makes so much sense given how much you love, and like, I think a defining movie for you is Cameron Crowe.
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous. And that's essentially where you're going with this list, right? And I now understand that. I didn't understand it when I read it. When I read it, I was like, okay, movie makers. But so because English for me now, I come from a different, right? I don't necessarily... I come from a different. I don't necessarily need, like, you know, the art of the movie making to be inside of the movie for me to think of it as a movie about movie makers, right? I just see, okay, what was a story that I thought was awesome and also had movie makers in it? Like, so the movie makers for me is, like, secondary, right?
Like, if it happened to come anywhere close, it was luck.
Right, like, exactly. And for this now, I'm going to have to, at least at the end, tell you what my audibles are, because that is going to be a conversation all on its own.
All right, so my number two, not going to give this much run-up, because you guys heard me talk about it already, and you thought it was my number three, but it's close-up. film by Chris Stanley, in which Chris Stanley himself stops making movies to go and find out more about a man who conned our family into thinking he was this famous filmmaker in Iran. It does a lot with the documentary form. It does a lot with movie making and talking about what people try to do as filmmakers in a very interesting sense, and I adore it. I'm never going to stop talking about it, guys. Never.
My number three? Two? Cloverfield.
the unmade Cloverfield.
I will make it. It's already made in my head. I love Super 8.
Really?
Yeah, he does. I remember him talking about that.
And people keep giving me shit for that movie.
But I need to watch it again.
It's not as good as The Goonies.
The Goonies is shit.
I love The Goonies.
You know what's also shit? That's what's also shit since we're talking about The Goonies? Zip Zap and the Marble Gang.
Fuck you, Andrew. Zip Zap.
If someone ever tricks you into thinking about
that, how would I? How would someone get me to watch?
It's The Goonies in Spanish. Right. That's what it is.
It's in Mexico.
It's in Mexico. What's wrong with you?
The Goonies in Mexico. Extremely racist.
What?
Mexican isn't a language. Goonies is terrible.
Oh my god.
E.T. is also terrible. Fuck you, stupid finger. Shitty movie.
Go home.
Go home to your... I still think Super 8 is incredible. Still do. I've seen it multiple times, as I want to do when I like movies. And still pretty good. Really, like, I still don't know where all that backlash came from with that movie.
Yeah,
it was a good movie for, like, the film aspect. It was good because of the little kids and the big adventure thing. And then they had a giant-ass alien in there, which I like monsters. What was wrong with the movie? I don't know. But I still love it, and it's my number two. It's not Cloverfield 2, though, but one day.
Alright, so for my number two, and again, I think Andrew may be a little bit more amenable to this one. Let's see, I don't know. But one of my favorite movies, one of them that kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't sure, I actually picked this for us to talk about once a long time ago.
I think this is what my number one is.
Oh no, oh no! I wasn't sure about it. It turned out to be one of my favorite movies ever. It is the Cinema Paradiso. So it looks like Andrew agrees that this one counts. This one is okay.
It's a movie about the love of movies and how it turned that into a man, into a filmmaker. And the movie's awesome.
I didn't put that on the list because 12 years.
Yeah. I was at this point, I was kind of like, I wouldn't mind if Douglas takes that and then I can just audible this movie in. Yeah.
It's the cost.
So, you know, Cinema Paradiso is my true number one. Yeah. But as an audible, only so that I can kind of talk about this movie again and see if I can throw Douglas as we've had this argument about there was no movie making in that movie. On a moon's Inception.
What?
A whole word?
No, Andrew, explanation needed.
I want to see this.
Needed.
Yep. Let's see you work this backwards.
Now, in the world of filmmaking, we're not even... I like how you guys can't even keep straight for this. You're just laughing at this.
I don't want to look directly. Not right now.
There are 10 other movies I could have named just for the sake of it being easier, but I thought it'd be fun to talk about this in this movie.
Alright, let's go.
In movies are, with any sense of the word, in themselves are dreams. Right? Someone, when we're talking about Georges Méliès in Hugo, and he thought about what would happen if you shot the moon in the face and had this story... These were dreams. When you're watching Inception and you see these people talking about the idea of constructing dreams such that it draws in users, it draws in people into these dreams, into a deep sense. It's just the same as we're talking about movies, as they're better and better constructed. And the more and more I watch Inception, it's the more and more I see it as completely and utterly a one-to-one discussion about the art of making movies and the art of telling stories in a really fascinating manner. And that's why I will always think of Inception as a movie about movie making. You have the dream, what do they call them? The architects, who are basically our writers of movies. I feel like Damon is refusing to accept me and Douglas is going like, I think Andrew might have a thing. I see that in his eyes. And all of the people who are being taken through these stories, in we have not just Cobb as the person who's taking us through it, but we're talking about the people such like Cillian Murphy, who is being thrust into this world, is just like us walking into a movie theater or sitting down at home and pressing play and being told to go into these worlds and find interesting things to enjoy or just things to distract us to keep us moving forward. Inception is movie making, and I will keep thinking that. Damien is dumb, so he won't agree with me.
All right,
Douglas, what
smart?
Where
smarter
is your verdict?
Douglas,
come. Hope, where do you fall?
I want to hear this.
I just want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't even know what I want to do based on that a while ago. But you said before there was a statement. Let's back up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rewind the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's recast our pods, and let us go back to a statement that our fearless leader made, mm-hmm, not like 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I think he said something along the lines, and this was in, you know, a sarcastic sort, mm-hmm, of like, Douglas, you are 100% wrong. He said something along the lines so now we're just talking about any movie with any camera, even if it's just a pinhole, mm-hmm, camera.
Right.
Right? I think he said something along those lines.
Right.
Apparently, no, fast forward to the present, mm-hmm, and he's decided that, you know what, fuck it, no camera needed, mm-hmm, whatsoever.
We don't need cameras, we don't need directors, we don't even need actors in this bitch. All we need is dreams.
All we need is dreams.
Because movies are dreams, right, Douglas? I've dreamt of The Matrix many times.
Whoa. Wow.
Word.
Wow.
That's it. That's the best explanation you can come up with.
So, Andrew,
you expected
wrong.
That to work?
You're not allowing me.
However, I want to say that the way you explained it was really cool, and I agree with you. It's all about storytelling. I never even thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. This movie is all about, like, you know, storytelling and you know, getting some somebody, you know, manipulating emotions and all that. But yeah, I don't know if this is
All right, so I'll go to the other 10 audibles I have. I just wanted to do that since Douglas was doing this whole thing. I'm like, let me pull up one that I felt is something that's kind of interesting or kind of works in my own argumentative way. But all right, my proper audible, if you want to go there, I'm going to go ahead and pull up Adaptation. The Spike Jonze film with Nick Cage.
I love that movie.
Right, where you have Spike Jonze so doing good. Filmmaking so about writers good. Who wrote on films he previously worked, and at the same time adapting a book into a movie that isn't really supposed to be a movie. That it does so many crazy things so about good. Storytelling and about it's a great film. I adore that movie.
Damien, your pick.
Fruitvale Station.
there were cell phone cameras.
There's a camera.
There were cell phone cameras.
Make as much sense as this lunatic.
Actually, it makes more sense.
Yeah, it does. There's actually a camera there.
I have to remember, don't bring up dumb film things in this podcast anymore.
No, but I actually really like the way you explained it. But right, I don't know if I don't know if I'd go as far. I'd go to exactly where you went, which is, you know, storytelling and putting somebody in a certain place and all of that. I just don't make the jump from there to movie making.
Because the only time you need to tell stories and put someone in a place is when you're doing movies. No other medium does that. Not video games, which it would be more akin to a fantasy world where you still have some amount of control.
Anyway, Damien.
Video games. Inception is closer to video games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best movie about movies is 8.5. There's nothing else even close. Best. It's a timeless classic. Probably one of the. Probably in the top 5 best movies that ever been made.
I do like that movie a lot, so, but I want to watch it again because I remember having a couple issues here and there. I saw that like around 5-4 years ago for the first time, and I just wasn't, you know, when you're just not ready to make that leap with those kind of movies.
It's incredible.
Italian neorealism.
Yeah, I remember. Fucks with me. I remember. You see, he's clearly scaled back. Like, I remember when he first watched that movie, the putrid essence, if that is a word, that came out of this man's mouth about that movie, or how much he hated it. Oh, 8.5.
He just said Italian neoclassicism. It made me cry inside.
But anyway, I have a number one.
He thinks that a thing that human beings say.
Andrew's going to hate my number one.
Is it Inception?
Damien loves my number one, but I don't know if he will accept my number one. Right. And that number one movie is The Number Oneness of The Fall. because again, right?
Uh-huh.
The Fall, but the so I need to explain this? Okay. No.
Well, I know you're exactly, using the same I know stupid logic. Exactly where Fine. He's going. He's using the same logic as before. Because at the end logic. We find out he's making a movie.
No.
He's an actor.
It has nothing to do with. I agree with you that the dream sequences and the stories that he's talking about are kind of akin to Inception.
Well, no,
right?
That's how I would have accepted it.
But that's not where I'm going.
I knew you were going with the stunt.
This guy's an actor.
Yeah,
and
he's lying to this child.
Exactly.
To get so kind.
And in all of those, in all of those, all of those montages, you're seeing them make the movie. So there.
God, I love The Fall.
The Fall is such a good movie. It is perfect. Christ. It's so good.
So, okay, before we get to your questionable audibles, we get to your questionable audibles to have that fun talk, let me tell you what my audibles that I haven't mentioned are.
All right.
All right. Last Action Hero.
I used to love that movie, but Andrew, wow.
I hate this one.
Sherlock Jr. I showed you half a second
of
it.
Yeah, it looked cool.
But I didn't really think that counted because there was no actual filmmaking in there or anything. It was just like he was a projectionist and he ended up jumping into the movie and doing weird things. Mm. It's kind of fun. Aviator and Barton Fink.
I actually almost put down The Aviator. So that's, but then, but The Aviator is
that's
very
why I
similar.
Didn't make my list. Okay. It was like when I was doing the list, I was just writing on anything that came to my mind, and that's why The Aviator wasn't in the top set. Because I'm like, that only counts for like around 20% of the movie. The rest of it is just him being crazy.
He's pretty crazy.
So I'm not sure how I should say this, whether it is in the order that will make Andrew hate me, or in the order that I love these movies. I think I'm going to do it in the order that I love these movies, from least to most. And it's only really two, right? And I think the first one I'm going to say is going to make Andrew hate me more than the second one. I don't know. Anyway, the first one is was Notting Hill.
Because she's an actress.
Because she's an actress.
And...
and...
I do hate her.
Yes, I know you do. I know you do. And
the question is, do you hate him more than you hate my Inception thing?
No, at least your Inception thing took work. He's just... There's an actor in this.
Damn right.
I guess.
Damn right.
It's a shit.
And the next one is The Girl Next Door. I love that movie. And
she was a porn actress.
She was a porn actress. Timothy Olyphant was a producer. You saw them making
does
a porn movie.
Does the producers count?
You saw them making the porn movie at one point.
Is the produ- yes. Yeah, my number one is The Producers.
The Producers.
Is it the old one or the new one?
Both of them.
The both of them. All right.
My honorable mentions are real goddamn movies, not like YouTube. Guys, watch Sunset Boulevard. It's a timeless classic. Stop the nonsense. Mm. And Heart of Darkness. How did no one have Heart of Darkness?
I wanted to leave off I'm making of kind of stuff.
I don't know if I'm watching.
Like, I almost put that in the email itself, but I said no. Heart of Darkness should be mentioned. Yeah, that's the big documentary that was made for Apocalypse Now. Where
Yeah, I may have watched it if it
Martin
was on the
Sheen
DVD,
going
but
insane.
I don't remember.
Martin Sheen lost his goddamn mind.
I don't remember, but I may have seen it because
best
I've watched.
Thing that's ever.
I watched that movie. I remember. You know, technically, I've never seen the original theatrical cut to that. I've only watched the Redux, but I love that movie.
So you've seen the worst version.
Hey.
That plantation scene?
Yeah, that's real.
if that is good,
fine. Alright.
You said you saw more Apocalypse Now. That's good.
Right. I listen to The Cure. I do not like them.
You like The Cure? I like The Cure.
And on that note, I guess we should say goodnight. As always, you can find us on Twitter. Douglas is DJ, I lost his name. Attempting to figure out why Inception is above movie.
2004 forever!
Vigic Games, 24 for life.
Damien admitting that he has no basketball teams.
Yep. LA Knicks.
He's thinking about the LA Knicks. And my constant curiosity as to how a movie like Spartacus can be directed by Kubrick but not feel like it's called.
Man was a master. Boring people today. With regret.
As always, you can hear the show over at gmailreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to rate review the show through iTunes.
The streets are filled with regret. Maybe down in lonesome town I can learn to forget. Maybe down in lonesome town I can learn to forget.